the dude. All my thrills are answered in the movies.
That's a big twinkie.
Welcome to GMC, or the Geek Movie Club, episode 12, the podcast with a new theme.
Have we really done that many episodes?
We have. We're up to 12.
Really?
Wow.
I'm David McVeigh.
I'm Richard Gray. Stunned.
I'm David Longo.
How are you guys? It feels like weeks
Not
since we
stunned,
did this.
Not stunned, apparently.
It feels like weeks since we've done this. When did we do the last one?
We did about an hour ago.
Not the panel show, this show.
Oh, a Lego movie, whenever that came out.
Hey, so yeah. About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that long. No. So I'm just dreaming. Okay, fair enough. This is the Geek Movie Club. This is our clubhouse where we get to talk about anything we want to talk about. Usually, sometimes pertains to movies, sometimes television. This week, we are doing something special, though.
The way you said that is though someone's told you you're not allowed to talk about what you want to talk about.
They don't let me talk about anything. Okay. No, this week we're doing something special. For those who have listened to Behind the Panels, and if you haven't listened to Behind the Panels, you need to go back and listen to Behind the Panels. Because that was part one, basically, of this crossover episode where we reviewed Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
And previously on.
And on this.
And this is the longest day of my life. We've got to get over that bridge.
So before we go any further, though, it's very important to note
the day of the presidential primary.
So it's very important to note that
only
if you,
one.
All right, both of you.
My name is Oliver Queen. In a world.
Settle.
Previously on Walking Dead.
Settle or I kill both your mics. All right, so basically it's very important to note, though, that this is a completely spoiler-filled episode. We will be talking about The Winter Soldier and its spoilers. We will be talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and spoilers and how they interconnect with The Winter Soldier.
For the two people who are still watching
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think I can actually say that it's gotten better.
It has.
It has gotten better.
The last two people watching S.H.I.E.L.D. are you two guys.
And my son. Yeah. My son.
We are truly the Walking Dead.
But before we get into any of that, we have some news.
Yeah, this week, big announcement from the US. Whether you're a fan or not, David Letterman made this announcement on air on his show this week.
Timing of this circumstance. And I phoned him just before the program and I said, Leslie, it's been great. You've been great. The network has been great. But I'm retiring.
This is really?
Yep.
This is true. This is. You actually did this?
Yes, I did.
Wow. Well, do I have a minute to call my accountant? Because
I just want to reiterate my thanks and for the support from the network, all of the people who have worked here, all of the people in the theater, all the people on the staff, everybody. At home. Thank you very much. And what this means now is that Paul and I can be married.
Hey, that's what we're gonna say when we finally yeah.
But he's going too soon.
Too soon?
I don't think he... I think he still
he's
had
only
another...
just started.
He still had another 10 years in that joke left, didn't he?
Now, I really like Letterman. I mean, I really enjoyed watching Letterman for years and years and years.
Top 10 things you like about David Letterman.
And the number one thing you like about Dave Letterman is...
The gap in his teeth. No, no, I really enjoyed watching Letterman. I think he's got a really odd sense of humor, which really appealed to me. And when it came to the choice between Leno or Letterman, I always chose Letterman over those.
I think by the time I started really watching him, he'd really gotten into a rut. It was very samey, it felt to me. And this is something I was saying to you guys before the show. I find most talk shows pretty samey. And I didn't like his sense of humor at the time, although as I've gotten weirder, I've liked Letterman more. But I think that because he is the establishment, he now seems safer than the other ones. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I was always a Conan person. I couldn't stand Leno. Leno, when he, when I mean, people like Leno used to be underground, man.
It was all chin.
Yeah, he was all chin, but he used to be underground, and then he went mainstream, and it was all so. What about that new car that's come out? Yeah, pretty good car, yeah. And that's all it was. Like, it was, and you that was my Leno, by the way. Thank you. I've been working on that for the past 10 seconds.
It wasn't that bad.
And thank you. We got Joey Lawrence.
I just don't watch Leno, so
yeah, no, it's just yeah. But then you know we got a whole lot of like. It seems to be a new talk show every week now. And he's probably picked a good time.
It's
to bow
a big out. Market in the evenings now in America. It has been for a while.
There's like 50 million channels, so they've all got to have a. Then you know, I mean, look, you know,
they've got the Late Show, the Late Late Show, the Late Late
but,
Late Show,
and like
the late
just late the Talking Dead and the Talking.
But the thing is about Letterman, I've always admired. I mean, he has been one of the true troopers of this thing. He you know, he took some time off when he had heart surgery, and he came back. He actually got the whole, you know, medical crew on stage and made jokes at the expense of like when the nurse came on and said, "Hey, she's seen me naked," you know, and you know, you look, go and Google. Do yourself a favor and go and Google. Hit the first show, his new show, when he went to CBS, right?
He went to CBS. He was on NBC originally.
His first CBS show with Bill Murray as the guest, and it's hilarious. It shows you one when Bill Murray was the most hilarious person in the world, and he still is. Let's face it. And Letterman just going toe for toe for him. And
this
it's amazing.
Letterman is still the man who has, I think, quite possibly the funniest joke in history when he had Madonna on the show and Madonna spaced out on him and did all the weird crap. And he basically banned her from the show for a long time. The next night he came on and said, "I'm really sorry about the Madonna interview." He goes, "It was like a battle of wits with an unarmed woman."
Yeah.
I just thought that was just one of the greatest jokes ever. You know?
No, he was good. I mean, look, you know, and the amount of guests and music. Musical acts that he's put on there over the years. It's amazing. He will be, whether you're a fan or not, he's going to be missed from that later. Mm. And they're going to be very, very big. It's a really big shoe to fill. Mm. You know, and he had his share of, much like Conan did recently, he had his share of being screwed over by networks. Mm-hmm. What was the name of that TV movie? It was about his... The whole thing with him, Leno, and
I never saw it. I remember the one you're talking
like,
about.
I can't remember what it was called. It was like the Late Show. And it was really good. If you can find a copy of that, go and check it out. It'd help if I could remember the name of it. Mm. But look, definitely go and.
Funny, we had like an interconnected group.
We'll look that up by the end of the show. But you know, as far as entertainment news goes this week, that's pretty much been the.
That's
biggest
pretty
story.
Much the big thing. Yeah, we did talk about a few other stories like the casting of Doctor Doom and all crap. We did all that on Behind the Panels. Mm. Go listen to Behind the Panels. Have a listen to that. What we really want to talk about tonight, and you know, we say this every week, and every week it blows out, but I think we're probably pretty accurate this week. This is kind of a special episode of GMC because. Everything that we are talking about at the moment has got to be Captain America related at the moment.
Hell
because
yeah.
It was, we expected...
David, if I may.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield...
And there will be more of that because I think we're going out today on that music.
Oh, right. Really.
Yeah, Star Spangled Man.
Yeah, we will come back to that, I'm sure. I mean, we all expected it to be good. We saw the trailer and we all thought this is going to be, you know, pretty good. Marvel's had a pretty good track record and everything else. I don't think any of us quite expected how good this film was going to be. We all really loved it. It came out on Thursday in Australia, which was a couple of days ago, Friday in America. And we've already seen it. You've seen it 3 times. You've seen it twice. I've seen it twice. I mean, we've really... this is a lot of fun.
We like this film.
We did. And we reviewed it on Behind the Panels, but we don't... We spoil comic books on Behind the Panel. We don't spoil films.
Mm.
But GMC has no rules. And so basically, we said that let's do a special. Let's throw this into a spoiler zone and let's just completely go nuts on this and S.H.I.E.L.D. So before we go into any sort of themes, let's just say if you haven't seen Captain America or you are not up to date with S.H.I.E.L.D. and you don't want these things spoiled, pause this podcast now and come back to us later. Okay, because from now until the end of this show, I think we're pretty much going to be nothing but spoilers at this point. So, Richard, if you will.
That's right, kiddies. I'm the spoiler.
You have been warned.
It's been a while since we've been to the spoiler zone. Oh,
we really need to dust this room.
Shouldn't have gone in there with open veins.
Man, did anyone remember to feed the cat?
What cat?
Didn't we have two cats?
I think I got a couple. Didn't we bury a couple of dead homeless people down there a couple of nights ago?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think we bothered burying them.
It wasn't a couple of nights ago.
It's been a while since we've been in the spoiler zone, but while we're in here, let's talk about some of the spoilers in this film. Oh, look at that, just turning back.
Let's just refresh people's memories about what we're talking about here. Here's a little bit of the trailer.
It's not a spoiler.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier. He's a ghost. You'll never find him.
I joined SHIELD to protect people. Captain, to build a better world, sometimes means tearing the old one down. And that makes enemies.
And that's enough of that. You can all go watch that on YouTube if you want to. So, we've already all discussed that we love this film beyond words.
I give it 5 shields.
I give it 5 bionic arms.
If I could give more than 5 shields.
Well, it's got a star on it, so.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this film. Let's talk about the cool stuff that we want to talk about on panels, but we couldn't talk about. Okay. First of all, I just want to talk about that fucking scene in the opening with the Quinjet. Not the opening, but when he basically is escaping from the SHIELD building and they're trying to stop him. From the moment everybody enters that elevator through to him getting out on the motorbike over that Quinjet.
Before we get started.
Yeah,
before we get started. Does anybody want to leave?
But everything, even before that, the opening sequence, which a lot of people saw in front of Need for Speed, the whole opening thing on the boat, it's probably some of the best action I've seen.
Just when he first hits that deck and just starts to run across and basically kicking people overboard, kicking them into walls.
Oh,
you know?
That was like the first moment where I turned to him when we were watching it. Like when you just see that wide shot of the boat. And it was the best cinema moment of the year, in my opinion, was just seeing that little SHIELD just run down the dark.
And casually just knock somebody just off like the boat.
It was fantastic.
And one shot where like Black Widow drops down.
Yeah.
From the hallway? Yeah, I thought that was brilliant.
And it just continues the conversation.
Oh, that one shot of Black Widow, though, where there's a body.
Did I mention that we like this movie?
the body on the
grate. What about the bit? Sorry.
That sequence where Black Widow's gone through the engine room. She's taken out everybody, and there's a guy below her underneath the grated deck. And there's a dead body, and she's on top of the dead body. And you just see the two hands stick out from either side and shoot down. It's just beautifully staged. Who knew the Russo brothers had this in them?
I did. I've been confident about this film from the beginning. You know, you can go back and listen to me. Just ignore the bits where I said that I was a bit getting worried about this film.
I mean, let's face it. For those who aren't aware, Joe and James, is it?
Yeah.
Is it Joe and James Russo?
Joe and Anthony.
Joe and Anthony Russo. Joe and Anthony Russo are sitcom directors. They came from Community and
Arrested Development.
And when we heard that they had been hired to do this Captain America film, we were genuinely worried. I think all of us were a little bit like, really? I mean, even Game of Thrones director who directed Thor, we thought he's a television director, but he's coming from Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is not like normal television, let's face it, right? So these guys are pushing shit up a hill, basically.
To be fair, even just in terms of movies they directed, they'd Welcome to Collinwood and You, Me, and Dupree.
Dupree was not a good film.
You know, I mean, we're not talking about. I mean, they did a movie called Pieces ages ago as well, but we're not talking about films that you'd point to. I mean, you know, you worry for a second that Kevin Feige's there going, they're going to go and see it anyway. Money, 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 money.
Yeah, who cares?
We can just get anyone on this. We can put Cap in a bathtub for two hours. But which spoilers? The bathtub scene in this is amazing. It's just Cap just kind of just oiling himself down, and just kind of this really slow loofah kind of scene where
Widow comes in,
and he's like, and she's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like waiting for him, and then Fury and Mackie come
and
in.
He goes on your left, and then Mackie just pops out of the tub.
He pops out of the tub, and you start getting a bit of
Yeah.
Agent 13 shoots off a few.
Anybody who was thinking that we were going to take this seriously.
Then Fury's come in. I'm keeping both eyes open.
Robert Redford's still got it.
So what we've just done now is written in our spoiler zone, we've just written some Captain America slash fic.
So we've actually the audience needs to be aware that this is all true. It's all happens.
This all happens in the film. I mean, this is
it's all happened in my head while I was watching this film.
You know what's cool? Captain America inserts something and then he manages to take down three of them.
So. Well, David, and there's that amazing line from Agent 13 when all this is happening, and she just says,
"I am still a woman."
Wow.
So it's, which, you know, everyone disassembles at that point there. But no, the real, I mean, I guess one of the things, if you've...
We've lost Longo.
We've lost Longo. just turn off his mic until he's back. Then if you've read the comic book, and we didn't talk about this a lot on Behind the Panels, but this is basically the Winter Soldier comic book, but they've sort of substituted characters like Agent 13 is in there. She lives across him. He's a nurse that lives across the hall. But a lot of her material tends to go to Black Widow.
Because isn't Sharon, isn't Agent 13?
Sharon Carter.
Sharon Carter. She's Peggy's daughter.
No, yeah. Niece.
Niece. Mm. Which isn't even touched on in this
That
film.
Was beautiful at the end too, where it was like the perfect fan service. Yeah. Where, remember The Dark Knight Rises? Where it's like, you should use your real name. Robin. You know, like where it's so
spoilers
hammered.
For another movie.
Oh, spoilers for a movie no one gives
no
a crap
one watched,
about.
Yeah.
That was a movie, by the way. Which sucked.
It was a movie. I can confirm. It was a movie.
On record, it sucked.
I can confirm that it was a film as well. And then you have my persimmon to die for.
There you go.
Anyway, point being that the end of this movie was amazing because it was like, you know, my name is Sharon. It wasn't like on the nose, like, my name is Sharon. And we didn't mention that I'm also the niece of Peggy, who you loved.
On that point, I actually read somebody's comment this week that said, I know it's almost Easter, Marvel, but did you have to leave so many eggs lying around? Because the whole film is just
but
Easter
I love
egg,
that.
Easter
I actually
eggs, you know?
Love that because that for me is... You put a great balls-to-the-wall action film on screen the general public can hook onto and enjoy, and us nerds get to hook onto all the Easter eggs.
Let's say the really big one where Dave and I just looked at each other the first time we saw it.
No, dude, we didn't look at each other. We squealed.
We squeed in delight. There was two faps
like, audibly.
It was basically, we called that film Two Faps for Falcon because we were sitting next to each other just beating off. You know, I mean, the thing is, you know, Noah was a film that we all saw recently. And we probably won't talk much about that today by the time we get to it. But, you know, despite the fact that had Jennifer Connelly, Hermione, and a bunch of animals, it was a tough wank. You know, that was, you know, it was hard to beat one off to that film.
Yeah.
There Cap, are a couple scenes, but.
Cap, I had no problems. I started in during the boat scene.
Yep.
And then by the time we got...
Well, as soon as Black Widow made her
by the time
well,
we got to the post-credit sequence, it was like, hey, I'm down for all of that. But probably the moment I was about to talk about was when they sort of mentioned they're rattling off... let's address the elephant in the room.
Yep.
Which is the big secret is this.
The big reveal of the film.
The big reveal of the film is that since...
Zola is alive.
Zola's alive.
Sorry.
Zola's alive. And he's back.
You're in my brain.
He's back in Pog form. we're seeing how many Simpsons references we can cram into one night of fun. And that Hydra have been, as part of S.H.I.E.L.D. from the very beginning, working like a cancer, I think they refer to themselves.
Yeah, he actually said it. He said it. It was a... a very nice parasite.
We're like the salted caramel to your ice cream.
Yeah, he said it.
We run straight through
like
the
a
core.
Very healthy parasite.
We run through the middle, and you get a little bit of the caramel. That
and Zola, good. For those who remember from the first Captain America film, was the little scientist who was creating Red Skull's stuff. Has now basically passed
such
on.
Such power
has now basically died, but he's had his brain transferred into. A high-tech computer of the day. Which
so
is
like 37 banks. Of
remember in the Lego movie? Yeah. Oh, yeah, 1980s technology.
Yeah. Hey, champ! Yeah. sidebar. Lego have announced...
sidebar.
I feel like that should have been accompanied with a bit of the Trouble Man music. Like, sad bar.
There you go.
That's our theme from now on. With the Lego have brought out announced the sets.
The Guardian set.
No, yeah. They've announced the Guardian set, but they've also announced Benny's spaceship set, which we're all going to buy.
Oh yes.
So we're going to have a fleet of spaceships by the end of the week.
It's going to go right up there.
Yeah. but because of this Hydra thing,
I can't build a spaceship. What, the one I'm building for you right now?
I'll discuss it.
Okay.
So because of the
whole Hydra thing, you know, they're targeting people who pose a threat to S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra. And at one point, another spoiler here, which is going to impact on things like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, we'll come back to that one in a minute.
Is, Agent Sitwell is freaking Hydra, man.
Who I think I called Stillwell
you
in
did.
Behind the panel. Sitwell, yes.
Look, that doesn't sit well with me at
no.
all.
How cool was the bit where, like, Gary Shandling, like, whispering yeah. in that guy's ear?
Isn't
like,
it so good to like, see Gary Shandling yeah. back there? Yeah. What a callback to Iron
and
Man
it was
too.
A callback to the pin as well, where he's like, nice pin. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary Shandling always comes across as, like, a 1930s villain, and it's like, hail Hydra, see.
The way they introduced Gary Shandling in this movie is classic. I bet yeah. you it was improv,
I'm,
too.
I gotta go on.
I bet
go
you.
And press the flesh with a constituent.
Do you remember
23
what, do you remember
years
what
old? Who's still,
yeah, that's it.
Who's still like, listening at that point?
Yeah. do you remember what it was he said?
What was it?
It was like, just spent the night with a 25-year-old.
Yeah. 23.
Or 23. And he's like, it's pain on the back, but oh. Something like that, yeah.
she's a reporter or something, but really, who's listening?
Yeah,
at that
that's
point,
right. That was what
But I don't
well
know.
Done, Richard.
For some
good
reason,
memory.
I did him as a yeah. 1930s oil prospector.
Yeah,
no.
That's what it
kind of sounded
like.
Hydra, see? Sweet, sweet Hydra. Got
off its head. Two shall take its place.
Salted caramel.
So, but, yeah, Sitwell.
Sitwell is rattling off all these names that people, you know, who pose a threat to Hydra. He's going, you know, some high school teacher in the Midwest, Bruce Banner, Stephen Strange. We were like,
Stephen Strange!
Spaceship!
If I'd been drinking water at that moment, I would have sprayed
you
it
have
all.
Done, you would have done. There's so many moments in this film where we would have done spit takes.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going to stop. I'm not going to take any. Don't take liquid into Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
If you're a geek. Yeah.
If you're a geek, because you will be spit taken from start to finish.
Yeah.
When you're not fapping.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it, I mean, there's that. That's like one moment we're kind of like, oh my God, well, that just basically said, yep, Stephen Strange is part of this world. And
you know,
then
the second time I saw it, the best thing for me actually in the whole movie was when he's in the Smithsonian Museum. That
yeah.
whole section of the Smithsonian Museum,
I
just
so
was
fired.
Like, that's
best yeah. cameo yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was the best cameo yet because he didn't feel forced. He actually just felt like an old man.
It's yeah.
like, oh, I'm so fired.
I want to bring this scene up because that little kid, right, when he sees Captain
oh,
America,
goes, oh.
that was exactly how I felt when watching the movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Actually, you're right, because it's exactly how we felt and what we had to do for all these weeks since then is not be able to tell anybody about it. It's like, I just saw freaking Captain America and I have to remain quiet for the next couple of weeks. And now we get to geek out and talk about all the really cool stuff, like the stuff we've just mentioned.
Like jumping out of the goddamn building onto his
shield.
Which is just awesome.
Know, that elevator fight sequence that you see in the trailers is like 10 times cooler in the film. He's got these magnet things that they try and clip to his wrists.
And they keep shocking him.
They keep shocking him throughout the whole thing, and like little cattle prods they've got in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole thing's choreographed so beautifully. More people keep getting into the lift as it's going from floor to floor. Until they get these, you know, and they're increasingly tough looking guys, and they get the really rough looking guys going, records. Getting in, and then you get the whole line is, so before we get started, anyone go? And they do the whole fight thing, and it's amazing. And you're right. Then he's looking around for a way to get out, and he just looks down this like 30-story drop and just jumps straight out the window, lands on his shield.
Because remember, his shield is vibranium, so it absorbs the shock of the hit, but he's still hurt.
Yeah.
But I just love Sitwell's reaction to that when he just goes, you've got
be
to be
kidding.
isn't it amazing? I think it's every 10 minutes there is a holy shit moment.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
What about
especially from
like,
that moment onwards.
Totally. The next 10 minutes after that is what? Fury getting up.
No,
shot.
Like
no,
Fury 10
is
minutes
prior
after
to that.
Within the next few minutes.
No, after that. You're right, yes.
Immediately after he's leapt out of the window, he's like, he's gotten into the garage, lock it down. He comes barreling out on the back of a
motorcycle,
yeah. And takes out a mini Quinjet with his shield, yeah. Which is just the coolest thing.
That was a badass moment when the shield, like when he chucks it and it smashes the two turbines and flies off into the air, and then he tumbles and catches the shield.
I just love
and lands with a clank.
Yeah, you
know, I just love how effortless.
Oh, what about the car door, man? That was like
the highway chase when they're all three of them leap out, and he's used the shield and the car door to kind of skid the three of them along.
And Falcon jumping out the building.
Anything with
and the
Falcon.
Helicopter just going let's turning talk, on its side.
Let's talk I said 41st.
Yeah. Like, it ain't like, like they put the numbers on the outside. It's like, let's talk about Falcon, because the way they've done Falcon in this movie is brilliant. They introduce Anthony Mackie's character at the start of the film. And he's not retired.
He's a retired soldier.
And he's just running around the Capitol with Cap, and there's a great running gag there about on your left, as they keep running, you know,
as he keeps
Cap
lapping him.
Overtake. And they've got this really great dialogue together at the start where he's like, well, you know, you're really pleased with yourself. Why don't you do another lap in victory? You just did it, didn't you?
You just did another one.
And they have this really great rapport.
What's
from
that
the
thing
beginning.
About the mattress where it's like, let me guess, your mattress feels like a marshmallow.
Yeah, like a marshmallow. Mm. And they have this really great bonding moment about returned soldiers, and it's great. And the way they built him up, and then when he finally sort of comes in, when Widow and Rogers are using his place to hide out when they're being pursued, he comes in and goes, and they say, what's this? He goes, consider it my resume. And we find out that Falcon was his code name of the project that he was in.
Well, the project code name.
The project code name for the wings. Yeah. He had these sort of metallic wings, and when they finally debut those.
Because he was actually an air rescue guy.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. It's like, I didn't say I was a pilot.
Because I thought, I thought you were a pilot. I never said I was a pilot.
So, that, I mean, when they introduced that
when he
finally,
says my wingman got shot down, his literal wingman
got shot down. When they introduced that, they've got Sitwell up on the roof of a building. Or Stillwell, if you prefer.
Sitwell
up on the roof of a building. He said, well, you're not going to do anything. You know, this guy, you know, Captain America, that's not your style. And he goes, yeah, but it's hers. You know?
And how abruptly.
And she just kicks him off the roof. He goes falling down. Seconds later, Falcon's bringing him back up. This beautiful, majestic moment. The music swelling. And it's like, you know, and he lands. Oh,
they took what is arguably one of the dorkier characters from the Marvel universe, because I mean, the Falcon, as much as I loved him as a comic book character, even I could sit there and go, that'll never be put on screen, because it's just, how do you put that on screen?
How weird would it have been if they did him like
with the red spandex,
with the red and the, you know, like
with the hair poking out
and
the top,
like, and the
yellow
pet bird.
Wings.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and the whole bit. But they
although
didn't.
Falcon in the run is pretty good.
Well, as I reckon say, he works like well on paper. He doesn't. I don't think he would have worked well on film. So what they did was they brought him into our Marvel universe. They brought him into the universe that would have a man in a metal suit and would have, you know, Captain America and would have even Thor and Black Widow. And they made him fit within that world.
I reckon they should have just had Anthony Mackie the whole time just eating crackers and then just turn around and say, hey, want a cracker?
Falcon gets to shine again at the end when they go into combat.
Magnificent. Like the big climax of the film are these three helicarriers which are being trained on all the undesirables against Hydra, and you know obviously they have to stop them from launching, and you get this amazing combination of like three separate set piece action sequences happening simultaneously. You've got Falcon flying around with all these guns. How magnificent was that thing? Where you see he's rising up and the guns are firing.
The flak, following him. Yeah, and he's doing the spiral. Yeah,
and then you've got, you know, Captain America running through one of them, fighting the Winter Soldier to get this little chip away, and you've got, you know, Black Widow running around doing her thing while even Cobie Smulders as Maria.
Well, you've
Hill.
Got you've got Black Widow in the main room.
She has a terrific entrance into that.
Oh, fantastic.
Like she's hiding as one of the council people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when she rips off that mask and
what a great mask!
Oh, that's
it
so
was
good.
Digital mask,
and at that point, we all thought that Fury was dead. At least I did.
I think they'd already met him again in the underground.
Had they?
Yeah.
No, I thought it was in the car on the way.
No, they already. I think that's probably the only thing about that.
Wait, what reveal are we talking about? We're talking about the reveal of Maria Hill as
when Widow goes into the council. And she's done up
Jenny Agutter.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought we were talking about Maria Hill in the
no,
car.
No, Maria Hill, when she pulls off the helmet and goes, man, these things pinch.
Yeah, yeah.
But I kind of like what they did with Cobie Smulders this time around, was kind of make her a little bit Robin-ish in a way. Yeah. Like some of her lines, they kind of gave her that softer edge because in Avengers, she was just very by the book. She just had she was just barking lines.
I love that line where they get to there and they're saying she needs medical and she goes, she's going to want to see him first.
But even the scene that I was talking about when they're trying to line up all the chips and everything, someone's breaking into her control room. She just stands up casually, shoots two people, sits back down again. But they make her as much of an action hero in this as everybody else.
Yeah.
So you've got this magnificent final climactic sequence between all these
people. With like two joyous moments like right after each other. Hey, like the guns of the helicarriers turning on themselves was just handled so well. You just wanted to clap, like, you know, in major applause. But then right after that, Fury comes back in the helicopter.
Yeah.
How good was that?
Actually, Robert Redford's reaction to that is amazing. When they go, you need two senior people, they go, yeah, he'll be here in a minute.
and Fury having to, doing this whole speech about, you got to keep both eyes open, and he finally takes off the eye patch, and he's got, you know, the one dead eye that he's actually using as his secret weapon, you know, to scan in. It's a beautifully constructed film. There is nothing about this film that isn't really well done. While we're in the spoiler zone, though, let's talk about what happens after the credits.
Yes. So Von Strucker. Yes.
Baron von Strucker. They've revealed two things. Apparently, apart from the fact that this post-credit sequence was apparently directed by Joss Whedon. Because he's making a new film called Avengers.
spoiled it. Come on.
What Dave meant to say was Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh, peaked out nicely.
That's the bunny. No, I was talking about a different film. But yeah.
Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
What are you, Quagmire?
what are they really? Wander and Pietro.
Diggity. Huh?
That's what they should call it. Avengers Wander and Pietro. Maximoffs.
They basically make two big reveals in that. One, that Baron von Strucker and his cronies have got hold of Loki's staff.
Now, I was having a debate about this with a fellow geek at work today. I was always under
I just picture you going, it's not a staff. It's a staff.
It's a scepter.
Exactly. No. We were getting into this. We were having a debate, and help me out here, because I was always under the impression that Loki's scepter or staff or whatever you want to call it was powered by the Tesseract.
You were having a debate with someone at work about this.
Yes.
How desperate are you?
We're
you
geeks, man. Grim. Let me tell you.
Kevin Feige actually said that it was a Infinity Gem.
Oh, it's Mewling Quim. It's Infinity Gem.
Yeah.
That's probably the Mind Gem. That one.
And so that's number four.
Yeah, we've got three, the Cube's one.
Ether's
one, and maybe
now
we've
the Scepter.
This
and whatever the Guardians post credit scene was, the Dark World's post credit scene.
Yeah, that's the ether.
That's the ether.
Is that the ether?
That was actually the ether.
So that's the ether. There's the Tesseract, and now there's the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all of them so far?
I think there's only three and three so far.
Three so far. Okay,
but there's what,
unless we're having one of
six
those,
in total, know. Isn't there?
Six.
Six. Yeah.
Because when he was given the ether, he said five to go.
Mm. That's right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Why would you give somebody called the Collector one of something and tell him there's more? It's not like he's going to go. Let this lie.
All right, so Von Strucker's got the scepter.
And then they go into another room and goes, "Well, they haven't seen everything yet. Wait, what's behind door number two, David?" And they reveal, "Oh, hey, isn't mental illness fun?" Elizabeth.
It's not going to be when people see Age of Ultron.
Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet Witch. Let's introduce them to the twins. And you know, you got Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in the ubiquitous Perspex cases that are in every fucking superhero movie that's ever. You know, Khan was in one.
Loki was in
Richard.
Shigur.
How else are we going to see them?
You know, yeah, exactly. What's his name? Shigur from the James Bond film. Yeah.
Anton Chigurh. That's no country for old men.
Heads or tails.
Goes to James Bond. You know, heads or tails, and then I will sleep with you.
I don't even remember what Mr. Skyfall. I think
Mr. Skyfall. Yeah. That was the opening. Song. Mr. Skyfall.
It was his childhood home.
No one can touch Mr. Skyfall. That's how I remember that film anyway.
Javier Bardem, I think, is the name you're thinking of.
Do you know that they've just announced...
no what was his
no,
name?
No, the character's
Skyfall.
Name.
Oh, the character, I don't know.
Mr. Skyfall.
I'll look him up.
But apparently, speaking of Bond villains, because we were, Chiwetel Ejiofor has been announced as the Bond villain.
That
for
was
Bond
an easy
24.
Name for you to say.
Yeah.
I've never been able to pronounce this.
I had to say it on radio recently, so I made sure I got the pronunciation of that one
that's
down.
That's kind of exciting.
Silva.
Silva.
Ah, that's okay.
That's it. Silva. Yeah.
Silva.
Silva is the Skyfall. Whatever. Yeah.
It was his childhood home.
And M dies.
Where were we? Oh, yeah, the twins.
The twins. Yeah, after M dies, the twins are revealed. This is the same film, right? The twins revealed, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, doing the thing.
My question is this. Because the entire Marvel movie universe,
and Quicksilver's not wearing goggles.
No, he's not wearing goggles, and he's kind of moving very radically. Now, and she's just batshit insane.
She's just going, "Aren't colors pretty? I've got mental illness. It's going to be a fun point." For
is that
the next
is
time.
That a meme yet?
I don't know.
It should be. I think you know, like, caption this scene. You know where she's holding the block.
Mental
like.
Scarlet Witch is mental. You know, is the
anyway. Hear me out for a second. I got a theory.
I don't always.
God said to Noah, "There's gonna be a bloody."
I don't always do. I don't always do magic, but when I do. I go spazzy.
No, you know what would be awesome if that's the opening scene of Age of Ultron and her blocks are like those alphabet blocks and they just it just says Age of and the blocks form Ultron.
My question is this.
And then they all fall. Title drop.
My question is this. If the Marvel Cinematic Universe is based heavily on the Ultimate Universe, which it seems to be.
Are they incestuous?
Are we going to have that weird relationship
That's why they're being kept in separate cages. Petro, leave her alone.
Stop touching your sister like that.
Why do you think she's gone mad?
Yeah.
I want to know if they're immigrants, like really badly.
What?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know if they have accents or if they're immigrants, because that's the big part of what they are in the comics.
That's true.
I would really like to
But they're
know
also
that.
In the comic. They're,
because
they're
we don't know, because there's the Magneto's. Well, Magneto. Are they Magneto's children?
They won't be Magneto's children because Magneto's with Fox.
And yeah, they can't mention. Yeah. They can't do. They can't. They cannot mention him. Or
but it's not like we're expecting mutants. House of M to be the story or anything.
No,
are
no.
We?
It doesn't matter. They can't touch the characters. So the twins are the twins.
I'm they're I mean, just going to be mutants. With obviously, you know, Joss.
They're not even mutants.
Joss Whedon really wanted to use them because obviously they were a big part of the Avengers history, as was Ultron. But I think it's just a weird move that both companies have decided to use the characters because it's gonna. I think. Days of Future Past is going to beat it to the box office, and everyone will have forgotten about that film. Hopefully, by the time Avengers comes out,
I think
they'll
have forgotten that film. By the time
I've already forgotten
cinema.
It. I mean, I don't know if I've mentioned on the show or we mentioned it before the show about Bryan Singer's aesthetic, how pathetic it is, how it's his late '90s, early 2000s vision of what somebody else thinks a comic might be. So he slaps some purple hair and some goggles on a mutant and goes, "Yep, so comic book." You know, and that's...
I'm sure he was thinking he was being very daring, putting yellow onto Wolverine's costume.
Yeah, and it's just...
Oh, people think it's like the spandex, you know?
And it's like, I'm sorry, you've... No, it's not... And the way he shoots them, they're so flat and uninteresting.
Random poll, right now. X-Men Days of Future Past, Spider-Man 2, Rise of Electro. Which one?
I mean, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Which would
Rise
be better?
Of Electro!
Which would be better or which would be
Which
better?
One do you think is
going to
be a better film? Which one are you more excited about? Oh, I don't care about the box office.
Neither. I'm not looking forward to either of them terribly, but I think if...
I'd say X-Men I'm more looking forward to.
At a pinch, I'd probably say Spidey. Just because I've... Probably only this week I'm saying that because I've been reading a lot of Spider-Man comics.
Richard. At least Amazing Spider-Man isn't taking aim at like a beloved storyline and raping it.
Well, it is. You know, like, it might like, actually, because it seems to be doing...
It's just the death of Gwen Stacy. Like,
it seems to be doing
like,
Turning
spoilers.
Point and death of Gwen Stacy. Yeah.
But I mean, say, like, I'm actually...
Yeah, but like Days of Future Past?
Spoilers for a storyline that's already been done.
And we covered on panels as well.
Yeah.
I'm in Richard's camp. I'm actually probably more interested to see Spider-Man 2.
When I say I'm more interested, it's like I'm stuck in the desert. Yeah. I'm dying of thirst and someone's just offered me petrol or boot polish.
Yeah, I'm more interested in Spider-Man 2 because... I didn't mind The Amazing Spider-Man. I didn't think it was great, but
it wasn't amazing.
Mind it. It wasn't amazing. Mm. I thought it was an okay Spider-Man
film.
Yeah,
I thought it was okay too.
I think this one doesn't look okay. This one looks like a computer game. Mm-hmm. That's fine, but Mark Webb is an interesting director when he's allowed to do what he has to do. So let's see that. Days of Future Past. from the minute the first posters came out to the first trailer to now the second trailer, it sparks no interest in me at all. And I was a huge X-Men fan. I was a big fan of the X-Men movies. I think the X-Men movies have a very important part to play in bringing superheroes back to the big screen and all of this stuff. But I am so, like with the comic books, I'm so over it,
yeah.
You know? And I would have been much more interested to see a First Class part two than try and do this mishmash of an idea where we're trying to do Days of Future Past, but we're not really doing Days of Future Past. It's our own story, but we're going to use that name because geeks know it. And
like
we're not,
Age of Ultron.
Like Age of Ultron. And it's like you sit there and you just go, the trailer does nothing for me.
But it's all arbitrary changes for no reason.
It's
like, let's change all the costumes like and make them look worse. Let's have Wolverine in place of Kitty Pryde.
When they've actually got
sell
Kitty
more
Pryde
tickets.
Yeah, and you've got
you know,
Kitty Pryde with a good actress playing her.
Yeah.
Why don't you make
because
her?
Because Hugh Jackman sells the tickets and it's corporate. It's
so
corporate
he can still
grade.
Be in it. He doesn't have to be the lead.
Well, he's got
to
be the lead.
The reason they've done that is because they've made the time travel between now / slightly into the future and X-Men days, and sorry, the First Class people, rather than what they did before, which was now and a whole future that they'd made up. And because they could use Kitty Pryde then, because they could use older Kitty Pryde to come back to the present. They have to use Wolverine because he's the only character apart from Xavier and
well, Wolverine
Magneto,
sells tickets.
You know, yeah, and Wolverine sells tickets, but, you know, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman. Is not
this,
getting,
this kind of conversation is really starting to annoy me, actually, because it's like, we got to stop pretending that Marvel existed in a bubble. They didn't. They were a studio like any other. They had the rights to the comics like any other. There's no excuses for Fox and what's the other company? Sony. You know, to produce shit like this. There isn't any excuse anymore because they are just like Marvel Studios is.
And Fox,
they're just a studio with money and the rights.
Fox less so because they actually own, unlike Sony who just have Spider-Man, they got Fantastic Four and X-Men. The amount of X-Men Reed Richards stories they could have told by now is staggering. You know, they could have and made X-Men in space with the whole Starjammers and they could have brought in Galactus and the Silver Surfer and had this whole amazing mashup. And they could have started doing this years ago back when, I mean, it's been
but
six
let's face
years.
It, they only rushed a Fantastic Four movie into production because they were going to lose the rights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The
so it wasn't, let's make a quality Fantastic Four movie. It was like, let's not give Marvel back.
And let's be proactive.
And I will never, ever, ever give the movie a pass for that.
Sorry?
I'll never give the Fantastic Four movie a pass for that. Ever.
The new one?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, well, then they should have just not made it.
Yeah.
Because we all know how good the Marvel Studios universe could have been if they'd had, you know, Galactus and the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, and it's not even the Fantastic Four that we're interested in the making. We want all their sub-characters that belong
to. But we'd
to
also
that
like to have,
but I mean, like,
you know, an Illuminati with Reed Richards in it,
well,
or
look,
whatever.
The three of us at this table aren't stupid. It's not like we're asking for, like, Spider-Man to show up in the Marvel movies or, you know, it's
look,
like we don't care. Like,
I
just
understand
make a good
economic
comic book movie.
I also understand,
you know,
economics. I understand.
Like, don't hire some, like, 25-year-old guy who's made one found footage movie to shepherd your giant franchise.
I mean, I loved Chronicle, you know, but it didn't scream to me. Okay, your next film should be one of the original Marvel first family.
Yeah, exactly. And conversely, you know, like Spider-Man, you know, like Raimi did it before, and now they're just doing it again.
Yeah,
yeah.
The casting on Fan4.
Wait a minute, sorry, X-Men. Do you guys? This is a good question to ask both of you guys. Actually, I'd like to see what your thoughts are. Bringing Bryan Singer back, do you think that smells of desperation?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Confidence?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
How
I think
desperate were they?
Yeah. No, yeah. I think Bryan Singer is desperate for a job because, let's face it, Jack the Giant Slayer didn't set the world on fire.
Well, he's messed up everything he's been involved with.
Since X-Men, yeah.
Yeah. And as I said, I don't like his aesthetic. I don't like his...
I think his aesthetic worked perfectly for X-Men 1 and 2.
They were of their time.
They were of their time.
But
they
he hasn't
great,
progressed.
But he hasn't progressed, and the X-Men films have been flailing ever since.
Yeah.
You know?
Even, look, you know, I had problems with First Class when it came out.
Mm. Yeah, same.
I liked First Class. I was never... so many people jumped up and down about First Class being, it's the greatest X-Men film since X-Men 2.
It's X-Men, no. The B-team.
It was okay.
You know?
Yeah. X-Men First Class was a good valiant stab at doing an X-Men film when we'd had Wolverine and X-Men Last Stand,
but, I mean,
which
X-Men
were both terrible.
X-Men First Class had characters like Darwin, what's your power? I can adapt to anything.
And they had the bump. They had the bumblebee girl. What was her name? The girl with the little fairy wings.
The butterfly girl.
That was only good because there was that one scene that looked like it was shot by David Lynch. And other than that,
when she loogied up like fireballs or whatever it was.
No, when they were sitting in the red room on a like, Fassbender and
James
McAvoy sitting on a bed together in the red room, and it was, you know,
it's just
her
like
just sitting there, and you know, she comes flying in with her wings, and it's all good, and Agent 13's there, and they're all loofering up, and Nick Fury comes. Oh, it's fantastic.
I think they should give it. I think they should. I think not a Marvel film because we take Marvel films seriously, but I think Fox or Sony should give David Lynch one of their properties
next week on GMC fanfic and slashfic. We do it all.
I think they should try that thing that Marvel's had a good shot with, you know, like let's just get someone
making good films.
Yeah, just like let's get someone who actually likes comics to make a comic book movie.
Whoa, that's a silly idea.
The boy's gone mad.
This is the last thing I'll say on this topic. I bet like the proof is there in the pudding. If Marvel can do it, then the other studios should take a lesson from this. Because I've been thinking about this a lot actually in the wake of Captain
America.
You
work in the film industry, right?
Maybe, but like no, but like not to derail this any longer, but like it's something pretty important, and I'm passionate about this kind of thing. Like, you know, it seems to me that it's soapbox time. I can't talk with that on, man. You gotta No, but it seems to me like the studios aren't willing to follow in Marvel's footsteps because they want to make their own brand. They want to have something that separates them from Marvel. Do you agree with that?
I think to a degree, but on
to
the
to a
other,
degree, it's like they're doing, like, this is the impression I get. It's like they're doing a popular.
But on the flip.
Jeez, I can't do it.
But on the flip side, no,
it's
I agree.
Like Chris Nolan, dark and gritty. That's what we need to do.
I agree with you to a degree, but I think on the flip side of that, they are trying to make their films look as much like they were produced by Marvel as they can. So people, the average audience, sits there and goes, oh, it's a Marvel film.
Then it's even
they
worse.
Don't even know it's Marvel Studios.
Then it's even worse and embarrassing because that would mean that they're not cynically making these movies. They're optimistically trying to make good movies.
Why do you think they held on to Fantastic Four? It wasn't because the first two Fantastic Four films made a huge amount
but
of money.
This is,
they're
this
holding
is
on to Fantastic
problem.
Four because they're desperate
is,
to try and get Marvel
problem.
Money.
This is my problem. That X-Men Days of Future Past is going to have a ceiling of like, what, 200 million US domestic?
I don't know. What did the last one do?
Do you reckon it'll get that far?
I've actually got Box Office Mojo here.
And then you can compare that to to like what Marvel's numbers are. If they're in the money-making game, then they should just do this.
Well, I think with the X-Men films, I think Fox is in the money-making game. This is why they produce Wolverine films and stuff. All right, so X-Men Last Stand. Let's have a look here. So the last real X-Men film was First Class,
Last Stand doesn't really count because that's prior to the whole Marvel
explosion. All right, so the
explosion.
Last real X-Men film was First Class, okay? 353 worldwide.
Okay, yeah, let's compare it to Iron Man 3 or something. You know, like
Iron Man 3 took $1 billion.
Yeah, you know, like, well, Avengers before that?
$1.5 billion.
And then what was before Avengers?
Captain America, which was actually
not that big.
But think about Thor that was just on, which is Thor the Dark World.
I guess in a way you can compare it. I mean, X-Men should be as viable as the Avengers. There's no reason why it shouldn't be.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that the Wolverine is the lowest grossing of all those. It grossed less than... significantly less than X-Men Origins Wolverine.
How much did it make?
The Wolverine domestically made $132 million.
And Thor The Dark World made $206 million, with a worldwide take of $644.
Collectively, worldwide, the X-Men films have made $2.3 billion.
Collectively.
Collectively, yeah. That's over six films. Over the nine films...
How much did you say?
$2.3 billion.
So what you're saying is all of the X-Men together... didn't take as much money as Avengers and Iron Man 3.
But that's unadjusted.
Right.
That's unadjusted. But unadjusted, all of the Iron Man... Well, there's been a couple more for the Marvel films, but collectively they've made about $5.7 billion.
Okay, one more thing. Put it this way. In my mind, it's irregardless if they make a good movie or not in how much they're going to make. So they might as well make a good one.
Well, yeah. And the bottom line is that these studios are holding
that
on to these properties.
That sounds too complex for
Hollywood. Well, okay, like let's just for a movie studio, I know, but I mean, like they're marketing already, you know, like like look at how much of Amazing Spider-Man 2 have we seen? Probably like 35, 40 minutes,
I reckon.
At least
we've seen a lot of it.
But Days of Future Past.
But with the first Amazing Spider-Man, this is why I don't think I liked it, because we got shown so many like long form clips. From this thing, we got shown like 20 minutes of the film in an advance screen. It's one of the rare instances where I went along because they had like other rare footage and stuff and interviews and things at the screening,
And I'd already seen 20. And then they started releasing, seriously, 3-minute clips at a time online. These films. This is sidebar. Another thing is like the marketing of films now, you know, a film's not particularly good, I've seemed to find, because when they start releasing 3-minute clips every week, you know, in the 2 months leading up to it. Whereas you say, you've seen 30, 40 minutes of the film by the time it comes out. So when you go walk into the box office, when you walk into the cinema, all the good impact is lost because they're like,
if Guardians of the Galaxy,
seen it.
If Guardians of the Galaxy was a Fox film, we would have seen 20 minutes of clips already by now.
One way that I look at it is that, like, all these other studios, they're playing like T-ball. You know, like the ball is on a stand, they just have to hit it with a stick. Whereas Marvel is literally inventing baseball.
Yeah.
You know, like the hurdle that Marvel had, you know, what, like, when we walked out of Captain America Winter Soldier, we were like, I can't believe this has only been, you know, what,
six years.
You know, like, when you think about that hurdle.
And they started from zero.
From scratch.
They weren't even a studio.
They were told it was the B team.
Yeah,
they had
exactly.
B characters at best.
Yeah.
And they turned them into triple A.
Yeah.
Whereas all they have to do for an X-Men movie is just, like, take one episode of the animated series and just film it live.
Considering that the Fox,
if they'd done the Dark Phoenix saga as it was written, it would have been. And we're only talking a handful of issues here. We're only talking 3 or 4 issues, which they could have quite easily just adapted.
Considering that
instead they make her an emo, angsty woman with red hair.
They shoot him in the cells because it's like some four. They shoot themselves in the foot for some like 4-quadrant crap. You know,
yeah.
Like
all
the
old I was about to say, just going by that philosophy.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Marvel has made what do we take $5 billion, $6 billion,
almost
whatever
$6 billion.
Almost $6 billion on the B team. Okay, and Sony has arguably the number one property of Marvel's stable, and Fox has arguably number 2 and number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they can't make it work.
No.
you know what I mean?
And then let's not mention DC.
Well, let's not even get into the DC
you
argument.
Know, like,
the whole DC.
Who own all their
characters and their own studio, and they can't make their films.
I know it kind of does sound elitist, like
so
we're sitting here going, like, we deserve all this, but it's like the proof's there now.
The four Spider-Man movies have made $3.2 billion unadjusted.
Yeah. Well, the Raimi Spider-Man films were a phenomenon. There's no doubt about it. And
Spider-Man 3 actually made the most money.
Yeah, and this was one of my biggest issues. And I, you know what? I'm going to say it out there publicly, people. I actually did not hate Spider-Man 3. I don't think it was nearly as good as the first two, but I didn't hate it. Okay, he was emo in one scene, and that was a bit silly, and yes, we had supervillain, but I didn't hate it. I watched it. It's Spider-Man doing what Spider-Man does. What's to hate? You know what I mean?
This is the thing. It's like, we were talking about this earlier with the How I Met Your Mother finale. You know, like, it's okay to hate some parts of the thing, but you don't have to say
you don't
the
have to blankly say
thing
it sucked.
Yeah,
know?
Like, that's how I feel about Spider-Man 3. Like, there were parts in it that sucked.
There's some really good parts in Spider-Man 3,
but
too.
Exactly right.
And yeah. I thought, what's his name? Hayden Church was perfect as Sandman. You know what I mean? He was a perfectly cast Sandman. I thought they completely botched Venom, but that's okay, because there are other moments in that film that were fantastic. When he's trying to get the symbiote off of himself, that is straight out of the comic books.
Yeah, in the bell tower and everything.
Yeah, I mean, some of this stuff was really good. The opening crane scene with Gwen Stacy was phenomenal.
Yeah, like with the whole floor collapse.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff was great. So there is stuff to like in there, you know? And this is one of the problems I have with Mark Webb's Spider-Man films is the fact that I said this in the review when we actually reviewed it. I just feel like I've been there, done that.
Yeah, and that's exactly
you know?
And sorry, Richard, one more thing for me. Sorry, it's starting to get to
hell with
It's starting to get to that feeling where it's like someone's on a race, like, to the finish line. They're just stopping right at the line.
Yeah.
You know, like, sorry for all the metaphors, people, but
metaphors,
you know, whatever. That's what it feels like. It's like something like The Amazing Spider-Man is so close. It's just without, like, the idiotic thinking, they could have.
Yeah, and look, and race, so I think we come back to the original question. Out of the two superhero films we've got coming up directly, yes, we have Guardians coming later, and that is, of course, the one we're all waiting for. But just out of Spider-Man and X-Men Days of Future Past that are coming up right now, out of those two, looking at those trailers, looking at the mood that those evoke to me, the interest level, Spider-Man 2 looks like a fun ride. X-Men looks dreary.
The funny thing is, though, like, a lot of people complained about the previous Spider-Man movie, there wasn't enough wisecracking, he wasn't light enough. First photos of that turn up, he's got a hose and a fireman's hat, and people are going, they've gone too silly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
I got to tell you, that's not what I have a problem with.
I have a lot of problems with what I've seen of Amazing... I got to say, neither film is floating my boat at the moment.
Now, we are seeing Amazing Spider-Man...
Monday next week.
Yeah. So. And we are going to get the little geek on. We're going to get Nicholas in here with us as well for that one, because out of everybody I know, he's the only person I know of who's actually excited about Spider-Man 2. And that's cool. You know, that's cool. If that's
they're made for kids anyway. We should
He loved Captain America, and I know he's going to like Captain America more than he's going to like Spider-Man, but he's a huge lifelong Spider-Man fan, so of course this is what he's going to be interested in. So cool, we'll get him on. We'll have a chat about that next week. Boys, for our short show, we've been going for almost an hour.
Yeah, and I didn't even get to talk about Doctor Who. So
no, do you want to talk about Doctor Who really quickly before we go, or do you want to save that?
I might save it for... Let's save that next month.
Let's save that. We're actually taking next week off for this show. That's nothing unusual, but panels is also off next week. We are going to be we are going to be back in 2 weeks, and we are going to have both shows. And we will be talking about Spider-Man, obviously, on panels. And I'm not sure what we're talking about on GMC, but then again, we never know what we're going to talk about on GMC. So we'll just make it up as we go along.
I think we were even supposed to talk about Noah tonight, weren't we?
Yeah. We were going to, but you know
you
what?
You mean... Noah!
The reason why I don't think we're talking about Noah is because after talking about it last week, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, as I said, it's a tough wank.
It's a tough wank. Look, all right. What we didn't hear, though, is we didn't hear what Longo thought of Noah. And that's all we needed to hear.
Oh, well, that's easy. Tucker's Law.
Well, let's start at the beginning, shall we?
Now, can you encapsulate...
In the beginning.
Can you encapsulate it to 30 seconds?
No, wait, okay.
Charlton?
Okay.
Is that your Charlton Heston? Get your paws off me.
You damn dirty ape.
They blew it up.
30 seconds.
Time's up.
30 seconds. In a row?
Yeah. 30 seconds. I went now.
I didn't know the. Oh yeah, I can actually do it. I'll do what I said after. I can't believe a movie so empty was so heavy handed.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so
pull
well.
Quote of the year.
Yeah, there you go.
Or the other one that I had, which was on Passion of the Christ in English.
I remember that on the night. I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, that was.
I'm here all week, people.
And mine would be Noah and the Neverending Story Rock Monsters.
Richard? Two of Every Kind of Crap. I don't know.
And that on that note, we will say that the graphic novel, which we talked about on panels last week, is actually much better than the film. The film, really not good.
And Dave's gone bye-bye, so until next week.
Where can we find more of you, Dave?
Damngoodcup.com. There's a review of Winter Soldier there, and Richard's joke was the best joke I heard all week, man.
And I was struggling. I could see it coming round to me, waiting for a pun. And I'm like, oh god, what do I do? Something about floods, animals, two of every animals. Oh god, crap. Do kinds of every crap.
There you go. And now we know the inner workings of Richard's mind. Richard, where can people find more of you on the internet?
They can find me at therealbits.com. That's the RELBits.com. You can find me at behindthepanels.net. Or if you want to hear my unfiltered trains of thought, DVD bits on Twitter.
Cool. And you can find me on Twitter at Dave McVeigh or right here on geekactually.com. That's it for this show. Clubhouse is out. And and we'll see you all in 2 weeks.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through. When Captain America throws his mighty shield.
The events of Captain America are really going to affect S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, how's that S.H.I.E.L.D., all right? You watched that last episode, it was like, Sitwell, you bastard.
Don't trust him. Don't trust him.